You're listening to Rock, Roll, and Remember with Dick Clark on KFRC-FM San Francisco. K106.
In 1956, a man hosting a local television show in Philadelphia is fired. In 1957, the man who replaces him will succeed in taking that show to national television. The show will go on to be one of the longest-running programs on TV. The man's name, a household word all across America. Both the show and the man will help to create a multi-million dollar industry, and at times be the subject of much criticism and controversy. All of this forms the nucleus of a book on which this special is based. Much of what you are about to hear has never been told before. Some of it couldn't be told before. Your host for the six-hour special, the distinguished actor Joseph Campanella. And now, Dick Clark. Rock, roll, and remember.
Something very touching happened in my life years and years ago. I don't know whether I was 12 or 13. I went to see a radio show with Gary Moore and Jimmy Durante. And my mom and dad accompanied me. We were living outside of New York at the time. And I said to myself, man, that would be the way to make a living. That eventually happened.
Dick Clark will do more than just earn a living at it. He will become a power in it. A power that will help to establish a new music form in the world.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll. Against my dad. And if they try to play too darn fast and change the beauty of the melody until it sounds just like a symphony, that's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna took my loved one over across the tracks so she can hear my man away on the tax. I must admit they have a rocking band. Man, they were blowing like a hurricane. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me. Way down south they gave a jubilee. Then Georgie folks they had a jamboree. They're drinking home from a wooden cup. The folks dancing got all shook up and started playing that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance, if you wanna dance with me, don't care to hear them play a tango. I'm in the mood to dig a mambo. It's way too early for a congo. So keep a rocking that piano so I can hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music.
The sounds in the beginning, the artistry of Chuck Berry. Before this hour ends, we will hear a cross-section of what's to come in the next six chapters, including the time Dick Clark feels he has to change his name. There is an accepted phrase in the entertainment industry, accepted but not very accurate. The phrase, overnight sensation. They pin that on Dick Clark in 1957, when American Bandstand hits national television. But Clark, although still quite young, has been around a while. He starts out in Utica, New York, is a mailboy at a television station, a disc jockey at his father's radio station, at one point, a newscaster. His success drive is strong, but he wants to be sure he makes it on his own.
At one time, I was so sensitive to the point that my name was Dick Clark, and that is his name, too, that when I went to work for his television station competitor in the same market, I changed my name to Dick Clay. Not out of confidence, because just in case I did anything or failed, I didn't want him to have to wander around that sales community saying, well, my son, the fool on television, and make excuses, you know. So I was Dick Clay for a while.
But then it is apparent that the talent is there. And so in the early 50s, under the name Dick Clark once again, he decides to move on.
I had a choice, I think, between Schenectady, one other market that's long faded in memory, and Philadelphia. The only hitch in the Philadelphia thing was I had to go back into radio.
And on the radio at that time, we are listening to pre-rock and roll sounds like this.
To Philadelphia, I was 21 going on 22. I had graduated from college, Syracuse University, where I studied business administration, advertising, and minored in radio. And I went to Philadelphia. I was scared to death, just frightened. That was the biggest town I'd ever lived in. I lived in the YMCA. And a month after I got there, I was going to get married. That was my first marriage, one of two unsuccessful ones.
The reasons behind those failures and how one almost costs him his career will be discussed later in the show, as will the bandstand and the impact it has on so many people, like this man.
One of my dreams as a kid was always to be on American Bandstand when I used to watch it from Philadelphia. I can remember sending cards down there, because I used to listen to people like Reckie Nelson, and I'd say, gee, I want to be like that, you know, I want to meet all, because I used to have crushes on all of the teenage girls that used to dance on American Bandstand, you know, and I'd watch it at three. I'd come home from school, not do my homework, and watch presented by Cheerios and Clearasil, right? And but that was my wish. I wanted to be a star, you know, in music, and I wanted Dick Clark to discover me.
The voice of Jose Feliciano.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. set the night on fire. The time for hesitation's through. There's no time to wallow in the mire. Darling, we could only lose, and our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Dick Clark, the all-American boy, and his bout with alcohol.
Okay, you say you've had it with those big stereo consoles, and you want to get into components, but money's a problem? Well, listen to this very, very carefully. Sunset Stereo, the little store with the big sound, is making an unbelievable offer. You get a Girard turntable equipped with a high-response cartridge and diamond needle, along with a transparent dust cover and bass, a solid-state AM-FM multiplex stereo amplifier with an 8-track stereo tape player, two dynamic speakers with a walnut finish, and stereo headphones. The price? Well, take a guess. $250? $200? $150? You're not even close. The entire stereo component system sells for, now you're ready for this, just $99.95. That's right, just $99.95. The Girard turntable, dust cover, bass, FM, AM, stereo, 8-track tape player, speakers and headphones, everything's included for the low price of $99.95. There's nothing extra to buy. Now, where can you get it? Sunset Stereo, 2555 Irving Street in San Francisco. Better write that address down. 2555 Irving Street, San Francisco, $99.95. Buys it all.
Hey, I'm not supposed to really tell you, but I thought I'd give you a little sneak preview of what starts tomorrow. Hi, it's me, Tom Campbell. The Comfort Zone Waterbed Warehouse starts tomorrow with its holiday celebration. Here's just a preview of some of the values. Now, we're closed today for Thanksgiving, but starting tomorrow, get ready. 17 The Limits at Fremont Boulevard, the Comfort Zone. Solid wood cube-style nightstands, perfect for your bedroom, $9 each. You've got to see them. Macrame plant hangers, $9 each. Beautiful simulated-fur bedspreads, many colors to choose from, slashed to $49. King-sized beacon blankets, many beautiful patterns and solids, reduced to $9. And wait till you see some of the Christmas holiday gift items, too. And at the Comfort Zone Waterbed Warehouse, when it comes to furniture, the beautiful Barker 6-piece bedroom suite, the dresser, twin mirrors, two nightstands, king or queen headboard, $278. We've got 6 different waterbeds, your choice of style, just $188 each, and there's much more. 17 The Limits at Fremont Boulevard before 10 tomorrow night. It's the Big Blue Warehouse. You gotta come by. The Comfort Zone.
K106 and B. Dalton Booksellers hope you're enjoying the 6-hour super special and would like to invite you to a very special autograph party this Friday afternoon at 4:30. Meet Dick Clark in person as he autographs copies of his new book, Rock, Roll, and Remember, at the B. Dalton store downtown at the corner of Kearney and Sutter Streets. It'll be a fun day for everyone. Don't miss this chance to see and meet Dick Clark this Friday afternoon, 4:30 to 6, at B. Dalton Books, corner of Kearney and Sutter in downtown San Francisco. Now, back to Rock, Roll, and Remember on K106.
The entertainment business has one very unreal aspect to it. You are at times what you seem to be. Dick Clark, based on his boyish appearance and involvement in the youth market, has the image of the all-American boy built around him. But at one point, behind that image, a great deal of inner turmoil.
You know, it's a funny thing. People always talk about Dick Clark, the all-American boy. When my first marriage broke up, the very first thing the all-American boy did was run out and find the nearest bottle of alcohol, which is true confessions time. And that never comes easily. I never seriously could think of being an alcoholic. But I did drink a great deal, and I was still working and carrying a load of 6 days a week of television, making a motion picture, trying to give the outward appearance of, hey, nothing's wrong, everything's going along. I had just finished going to Washington through the purge of payola, and the marriage was then going down the drain, and I doubt whether one out of a million people looking at the television set ever would have known that there was anything wrong with good old Dick Clark.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Later in the show, we'll focus on some of the high points and the humorous moments in the early days of rock and roll and Dick Clark. For instance,
the thing I loved about a lot of the artists who would come by frequently is we'd develop a little more than just a surface relationship, and pretty soon when you do that, the practical joke aspect of things happens, and little snide remarks will pass back and forth, joke gifts and what have you, and there were four guys from California who came to Philadelphia occasionally, and I gotta tell you, they didn't show the proper respect.
It was really a heady experience, and the Capitol promotion man brought us in to this kind of waiting room at the studios, the Bandstand studios, and he said, he'll be in a minute to meet you, and we all knew who he was, right? It was like waiting for an audience with the Pope. And when you walked in, I wasn't sure if I should kiss your ring or say Your Excellency or what, but I just went for a handshake.
Bruce Belland of the Four Preps.
26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance, 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 romance. Water all around it, everywhere. Tropical trees and the salty air. But for me, the thing that's awaiting there, romance. It seems so distant, 26 miles away, resting in the water serene. I'd work for anyone, even the Navy, who would pull me to my island. 26 miles so near yet far. I swim with just some water wings and my guitar. I could leave the wings, but I'll leave the guitar for romance, 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 romance. 26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me.
tropical heaven out in the ocean, covered with trees and girls. If I have to swim, I'll do it forever till I'm gazing on those island girls.
40 kilometers in a leaky old boat, any old thing that'll stay afloat. When we arrive, we'll all promote romance, 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 romance.
Part of our story will center around Dick Clark's involvement with the early pioneers of the new music called rock and roll. Elvis, for example.
I remember the very first time I ever saw him at the Philadelphia Arena. It's the very first time my ears ever rang after a concert. And we kept very close contact when he went in the Army because Colonel Tom was smart enough to know that every kid in the country watched the bandstand, and we had to keep reminding him that Elvis was around, that Elvis was in Germany, that Elvis would be back, and that Elvis loved him. So we talked to him on the phone a lot.
Do they know who you are and so forth?
Well, it's kind of a hard question.
That's a real, real difficult question. It's a leading question, Elvis, because I know, of course, as I guess everybody else does, that they go pretty crazy for you. Do you get along well with them?
Yeah, I get along very well. Every day when I finish work and I come in, well, there's always... I know a lot of people at the gate from all over Germany, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they bring their families, especially on weekends. I have a lot of visitors here from all over Germany, all over Europe, in fact. They come here, you know, and bring pictures and take pictures and everything.
Must be a fairly exciting thing that's happened.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of exciting trying to keep up with that life, plus the Army life, too, you know.
I imagine you're kind of a man torn between two careers here.
Hold me close, hold me tight.
Next, the payola scandals of the late 50s.
Hey, if you've ever used a cream rinse, come here. I've got something to show you. It's a totally new rinse you won't believe. It's called Breck Clean Rinse. It's oil-free and so different it doesn't even look like other rinses. Oh, let's see, how am I going to do this? Well, you know what your cream rinse looks like. Well, maybe it's green or white, but it looks thick and cloudy, right? Well, Breck Clean Rinse isn't. It's clear. It comes in a clear bottle, and you can look right through it. You see, most rinses have oil, They stay cloudy even when mixed with water. But Breck Clean Rinse is oil-free, so it dissolves completely. Rinses out fast and takes care of tangles without adding any oily feeling. That's why it's so terrific. Now, I can't show you how beautiful your hair is going to look, and I can't tell you which fragrance you'll like best. Fresh meadow, fresh honeysuckle, or fresh citrus. You'll just have to see for yourself. Try Breck Clean Rinse. It's the one you can see right through.
Someday you'll own. Someday you'll own. Sooner or later, you'll own Generals.
For 60 years, General Tire has been building long mileage tires. And now, the Dual Steel 2 Radial. General's Dual Steel 2 Radial starts with a road-hugging radial ply body. Then, two strong steel belts are built around the body for long mileage and puncture protection. You'll be pleasantly surprised at what radial tire performance can do for your car. And remember, the 40,000-mile Dual Steel 2 Radial has General's 60 years of experience as a builder of quality tires behind it. Sooner or later, you'll own General's. Check your yellow pages for the General Tire headquarters nearest you.
Sooner or later, you'll own Generals. Sooner or later, you'll own Generals.
And now back to our radio exclusive, Dick Clark, Rock, Roll, and Remember with Joseph Campanella.
American Bandstand joins the network in 1957. By 1959, it is one of the most talked about successes in television. Dick Clark has arrived. And then it happens. The Alice in Wonderland innocence of teenagers rocking and rolling into millions of homes each day is itself rocked by a congressional subcommittee investigation into payola in the record business. And Dick Clark finds himself right in the middle of it as their main target.
At the end of the congressional hearings, Chairman Orrin Harris turned to me. Now, mind you, this is after probably the nine worst months of my life, and he said, this is a direct quote, "Mr. Clark, we know of your importance to the broadcast industry and particularly to the young people of the country. You are obviously a fine young man." He then went on to say, "Good luck, and we hope we haven't inconvenienced you." Inconvenienced me. They almost killed me emotionally. Got to the point where I was worried about, should I have named my oldest child Richard Clark for fear that they were making me out to be the babyface Nelson of the music business.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. I met her on the mountain. There I took her life. Met her on the mountain, stabbed her with my knife. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Hadn't have been for Grayson, I'd have been in Tennessee.
Well now, boy,
hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head and cry. Oh boy, you're bound to die.
Well now, boy,
hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head and cry. Bound to die. This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Down in some lonesome valley, hanging from a white oak tree. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Boy, you're bound to die.
Oh, well, now, boy.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
Oh, well,
hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy,
you're bound to die. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Poor boy, you're bound to die.
In the late 60s, a new word finds its way into rock and roll. Groupies. It is not a kind word. It describes a group of young ladies who become camp followers to rock stars, and it has more than a slight hint of sexual overtones. But while the word is new, the practice is not.
People are inclined to think that groupies belong to the 60s and the acid rock era. It's funny, if you're a rodeo star, there are groupies for rodeo riders, for baseball players, for wrestlers, for classical musicians. Everybody has... Frankly, they're camp followers, and that's exactly what we had in the 50s. We didn't even have a name for them. They were just crazy little girls who used to run around after the stars. Biggest problem we had, of course, then, we lived in the age of innocence, and you couldn't talk about it. You couldn't even intimate that this sort of thing might happen, that one of your leading teen idols of the day might have, 20 little girls in his room. Some evening, that would cause quite a disruption back in the 50s.
When it becomes apparent by the early 60s that rock and roll and American Bandstand are more than just passing fads, and that millions of record-buying viewers watch it religiously, many established pop stars take a closer look at it. And even though Bandstand only pays the minimum performer's fee, more than a few major acts feel it is important to do the show. And this, in some cases, causes problems.
Tony Bennett's a case in point. You know, here's a guy with a great voice, sold millions and millions of records, suddenly hit a slump. The Rock and Rollers hit the scene. I got a call personally from Tony. He says, hey, the Columbia record contract's coming up. Give me some help here. I got to get a hit as I go in to sign. Well, again, you know, a record is either a hit or it's not a hit, but I'd do anything in the world for Tony. He's a salt-of-the-earth guy, and sure enough, he appeared right there in the middle of all the rock and roll melee, and all of a sudden, Ed Sullivan pops up, and he says, what is Tony Bennett doing over there for $152 when I'm paying him $7,500 for a guest appearance? What poor old Ed didn't understand was Tony was there to sell records.
In the middle of an island, the moonlight, just the monkeys and the palm trees, in the middle of an island, plenty time to do some kissing, plenty time for lots of loving, I'm walking barefoot in the sand, though there's no island at all, just a picture of in the middle.
for two.
By the end of 1957, the Daily American Bandstand is so successful, the network talks Clark into doing a Monday night version. It is conceived and executed very quickly, too quickly, and the ratings reflect it. Clark begins to panic. The network, however, quickly realizes its mistake, cancels the Monday night show, and hands Clark instead his own Saturday night primetime slot.
The night is as vivid to me today as it was in February of 1958. In a blinding snowstorm, standing under the marquee of the little theater off Times Square in New York City, I welcome people to the very first Dick Clark Saturday night show with no sponsor. We didn't have a sponsor yet. Nobody had enough confidence in rock and roll at that point. Our guests were Pat Boone, Jerry Lee Lewis, the King of the Stroll, Chuck Willis, a young lady that would be introduced by Johnny Ray as his find. To tell you the truth, I think he found her that night. It was a very false premise. More about that at another time. Connie Francis was there. And then the producers had some youngsters come down from the balcony, a flight of stairs through the audience to a resounding ovation. And most of Mid-America had no more idea than a billy goat what all the excitement was about when he announced the Royal Teens in Short Shorts.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Because of the success of Clark and rock and roll music in general, the public begins looking to the city of Philadelphia as a mecca of the new sound. And in truth, many early rock stars do come out of the city of brotherly love.
Everybody immediately thinks of Fabian and Frankie Avalon and some of the other kids from Philadelphia. The guy I think of as the beginning of it all for the Philadelphia sound was a young guitarist who worked broken down sleazy nightclubs and bars and saloons, and he was discovered by two friends of mine, Bernie Lowe and Cal Mann, who together founded Cameo Parkway Records. They had a brilliant idea. They had written Teddy Bear for Elvis Presley. They'd written a lot of hit songs. Bernie was a piano player. Cal was a songwriter. And they took a song by Guy Mitchell, Singing the Blues, and turned it upside down, stood it on edge, and called it Butterfly, and recorded it with the very, very first Philadelphia star in rock and roll, Charlie Gracie.
You tell me you love me, you say it's true.
and you fly around with somebody new, but I'm crazy about you. You butterfly, you're treating me mean, but you're making me cry. I made up my mind to tell you goodbye, but I'm no good without you. You butterfly. I know what I'll do. I'm flipping your wings. You fly in this blue, 'cause I'm crazy about you. You butterfly. And you fly around with somebody new, but I'm crazy about you. You butterfly, you're treating me mean, you're making me cry. I made up my mind to tell you goodbye, but I'm nothing without you. You butterfly. Flipping your wings, you fly in this view, 'cause I'm crazy about you. You butterfly, you butterfly.
Wild Hair Unisex Shop in Richmond proudly presents The Hair Story. Once upon a time, there was a woman who went to Wild Hair to find out how she could make her hair healthy and beautiful. One of the professional stylists told her all about Wild Hair's cutting, perms, coloring, straightening, drying, and private booths. Then the stylist took her into the lab to test her hair for moisture and strength. After learning all about Wild Hair's fine hair process, the woman had the stylist cut, color, and style her hair. And it looked sensational. When the woman got home, everyone told her how beautiful her hair looked. And now, she's very happy. And she phoned to make an appointment for her husband, son, and daughter the same day and time. This hair story has been presented by Wild Hair, 1156 23rd Street, near Ream, in Richmond. Call Wild Hair today at 233-HAIR and find out how you can be the beautiful character in the next Wild Hair story.
I've got an idea. With the holiday season coming on, why not look out of this world in these great quality sweaters here at the Young Delivery Service at iMagnon, like this popular midi look in a pullover sweater with sailor collar and drawstring waist. Just $22 at iMagnon. And here's a boat neck pullover for the holidays from Whistle Stop, a rich cream color with red and blue flags on the front. A great gift for only $20. Now, over here are all styles and beautiful soft colors by none other than Huckapoo, Shetlands, Angoras, all kinds. And this one has a high fashion hood from only $17 to $27 here at iMagnon. And for knitted style sweaters and holiday colors, Clovis Ruffin has knitted cardigans for you at the new iMagnon in Valco Fashion Park, Cupertino. Priced from only $46 to $50 at the Young Delivery Service at iMagnon this week.
K106, B. Dalton Books, and Dick Clark have a special invitation for you. It's an autograph party this coming Friday afternoon at 4:30. Come on down to the B. Dalton Bookstore, downtown San Francisco, and meet Dick Clark in person. Dick will be autographing copies of his new book, Rock, Roll, and Remember. And you're invited to come on down and say hello. Don't forget the date, this Friday, December 3rd, at B. Dalton Books, corner of Kearney and Sutter in downtown San Francisco. Now let's get back to Rock, Roll, and Remember on K106.
As we conclude this first chapter of our 6-hour special, Remember that from here on, each hour will focus on particular aspects of Clark. The people, the music, and the business. Much of what you will hear has not been told before, and may shock you. The singing star linked to Clark's first divorce. The first rock star of the 50s involved in drugs. The truth behind the payola scandals. And at times, just some pleasant memories.
One of the most memorable days on the bandstand. I mean, folk music came along in the 60s there, and it amalgamated itself immediately with rock and roll music. They electrified it, and it all sort of got mixed together. I will never to this day forget when three giant superstars descended on that little studio in Philadelphia, did a lip synchronization of their record, and the place went out of its mind. Then they went over and did some harmony with the kids in the stands. I mean, this was an extraordinary experience the day that Peter, Paul, and Mary came.
Up the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. No longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
In Chapter 6, we'll delve into Dick Clark, the man behind the image, and probe the inner man.
Years ago, I had a conversation with my father, who had at one time wanted to be an actor, and I wanted to be an actor. He talked me out of that very easily, but he did say to me when I was a disc jockey in Philadelphia and doing, you know, pretty well for a young guy, he said, I want you to look very introspectively someday at yourself. And he said, if by the time you're 30, if you're not something extraordinary in the performing end, if you're not really successful, please turn your attention to the business side of broadcasting, because there's nothing sadder than an old disc jockey.
Hello, honey, it's me. What did you think when you heard me back on the radio? What did the kids say when they knew it was their long-lost daddy-o? Remember how we listened to the radio, and I said, that's the place to be. And how I got the job as an FM jock the day you married me. It was two kids and I was into AM rock, but I just had to run around. It's been 8 years since I left you, babe. Let me tell you about what's gone down. I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. The bright good morning voice, who's heard but never seen. Feeling all the 45, going on 15. The drinking I did on my last big gig, it made my voice go low. They said that they liked the young sound when they let me go. So I drifted on down Tulsa, Oklahoma, to do me a late night talk show. Now I've worked my way down home again here to Boise, Idaho. That's how this business goes. I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. Good morning, boys, who's heard but never seen. Feeling all of 45, going on 15. I'm making extra money doing high school sock hops. I'm the big time guest MC. You should hear me talking to the little children and listen what they say. This crazy dream that I just take off in my car. But you can travel long 10,000 miles and still stay where you are. Thinking that I should stop this jockeying and start that record store. Maybe I could settle down if you take me back once more. Okay, honey, I see. I guess he's better than me. Sure, old girl, I understand. You don't have to worry, I'm such a happy man. I am the morning DJ at WOLD.
This is Joseph Campanella. Rock, roll, and remember.
And here she is, the winner of Wally's first round the world by bicycle race. Wheels McGinnis. Ms. McGinnis, please sit down.
I am sitting down.
So you are. How tall are you?
6'4" in my sweat socks.
Ms. McGinnis, to what do you owe today's victory?
Oh, my Rolly bicycle dealer. He custom sized me.
He what?
He fitted the handlebars, pedals, and saddle to my person.
You had trouble before you went to a Rolly Pro?
Oh, sure. Look, riding a bike is not like wearing pantyhose. One size does not fit all.
What was the most difficult part of your around-the-world race?
The Atlantic. Definitely the Atlantic. Got a little water in my ear.
Visit one of the Rolly bicycle dealerships today and get a sneak preview of the 1977 model Grand Prix, the popular alloy-equipped, lightweight, 10-speed bike. Rolly also offers the special buyer's protection policy. See your nearest Rolly bicycle dealer today. See Kezar Cyclery, 854 Stanion Street, San Francisco. Stanion Street Cyclery, 672 Stanion Street, San Francisco. Witt's Bike Shop, 22138 Mission Boulevard in Hayward. Encina Bicycle, 2891 Ignacio Valley Road, Walnut Creek. Or Vince's Bike, 2176 South El Camino Real, San Mateo. Rally on a Rally today.
Here comes the Hit Machine, one of K-Town's greatest albums ever. 20 original hits, original stars, Maxine Nightingale.
Welcome back.
Hit Machine, the music never stops with the fantastic Bellamy Brothers. Super group of 76, KC and the Sunshine Band. Brian McClay, Jesse Calder, Rick Springfield, and Rick Dean. Sensational Starbuck. Hit Machine rolls out 20 fantastic original hits. Walter Murphy and the Big Apple Band. Hit Machine. 20 giant hits, all original stars. $5.99 from K-Tel. Take $7.99.
Hit Machine, now available at Sears, Banana Records, Music Land, participating JCPenney stores, Montgomery Ward, and Woolworth, SH Crest, Drug King, Pay and Save, and Payless.
listening to Rock, Roll, and Remember with Dick Clark on KFRC-FM San Francisco. K106.
During the second hour of our special with Joseph Campanella, we'll follow the career of one-time country disc jockey who teaches America to dance. And now once again, Dick Clark, Rock, Roll, and Remember.
Nobody ever knew I was a country disc jockey. Nobody ever knew I did the Polish-American, Italian-American hour, the classical hour, and all of that. On television, I was Cactus Dick and the Santa Fe Riders. I was always sitting there in the wings waiting and watching because there was a man named Bob Horn who, with an associate named Lee Stewart, had the one single most successful television show on locally anywhere in the world. And it was called Bandstand. And way, way back in the recesses of my mind, I said, gee, if I could only ever get to do something like that, wouldn't that be great?
In 1956, the idea that millions of Americans will soon be watching a couple hundred Philadelphia kids dance on national television seems as preposterous as landing men on the moon. Rock and roll music has yet to gain mass appeal, as the most popular singers of the day are Frankie Lane, Patti Page, and Guy Mitchell.
Well, I never felt more like singing the blues, because I never thought that I'd ever lose your love. Why'd you do me this way? Well, I never felt more like crying all night, because everything's wrong. Singing the blues. The moon and stars no longer shine. The dream is gone, I thought was mine. There's nothing left for me to do but cry over you. But, well, I never felt more like running away. But why should I go? 'Cause I couldn't stay.
Clark spins ballads on WFIL radio, he eyes the youth-oriented Bandstand TV show originating across the hall. Clark attempts to break out.
I called a man in Cleveland, Ohio, that managed television station WEWS, having substituted on the local Bandstand. I knew it was a giant. And I said to him, I sort of ballooned my part out a little bit. I said, I'm the guy that substitutes for Bob Horn and Lee Stewart on the Bandstand in Philadelphia, and I sure love the Cleveland duet. He cut me off right in the middle of it. He was the most obstreperous, nasty, uncouth, terrible man. He just slammed the receiver in my ear and called me a fool. I mean, he was a bad, bad dude. And had he given me the job in Cleveland, and I like Cleveland, I probably still would have been there.
Baby, back to me.
Misfortune becomes good fortune. From 1952 to 1956, Bob Horn hosts the daily Philadelphia television show called Bandstand. He hits upon a simple, foolproof format. Play music, interview the artists, and most important of all, show the kids dancing. With this formula, Bob Horn's reign as Bandstand host appears permanent. However,
in 1956, in July, Bob Horn was fired by the television station that originated Bandstand, a show that had, over 60, almost 70% of the local audience when it was on. Kids dancing to music. Wasn't even a lot of rock and roll music in those days. And there was a lot of scandal attached to Horn's leaving. And for a period there, Tony Mamarella, the producer, was the host. While they looked around, I kept saying to myself, I wonder if they're going to look over here on the radio side. I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. I was really getting nervous. And one day they called me up and said, would you like to take the Horn spot? I had substituted for him before, and I very casually said yes, and my insides were just jumping out through the top of my head because I said, this is it.
At the age of 27, Clark finds himself on top of the world, hosting Philadelphia's most popular show. Cactus Dick, the former country western disc jockey, is now playing a new kind of music he knows nothing about. It's called rock and roll.
When I first started playing the music that I was playing on the Bandstand, I didn't understand it. I had come from a radio background that was middle-of-the-road music and soft and quiet things, and I was the first one to admit, you're going to have to teach me this. I did have a jazz background. I knew black music from that end. But the new rhythm and blues to me was a strange sound. Well, within 20 minutes, I was a dyed-in-the-wool Fats Domino Chuck Berry fan. It still is my favorite form of music.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. My heart, when you said we'll part, ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry, ain't that shame. My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry, ain't that shame. My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
When Clark takes over Bandstand, he entertains no fantasies of national prominence. But he soon exhibits his legendary business prowess, starting with, of all things, sock hops.
I never realized at the point I was able to take over the Bandstand in 1956 that it would become a national television show, but the man who had done it was extraordinarily wealthy. He made a lot of money. We did record hops in those days, 7 days a week, especially in the summertime, and you could end up conceivably making close to $100,000 in a year as a local television personality. Now, dollar motivation was very big in those days. And I got to admit, it was an ego factor. He was the biggest fish in the Philadelphia pond. And I said, my, that's my chance to be a big fish. I didn't realize it would ever blossom out like it did.
But Bandstand and Dick Clark will soon blossom all over America. And that's next on Rock, Roll, and Remember.
Okay, you say you've had it with those big stereo consoles and you want to get into components, but money's a problem? Well, listen to this very, very carefully. Sunset Stereo, the little store with the big sound, is making an unbelievable offer. You get a Girard turntable equipped with a high-response cartridge and diamond needle, along with a transparent dust cover and bass, a solid-state AM-FM multiplex stereo amplifier with an 8-track stereo tape player, two dynamic speakers with a walnut finish, and stereo headphones. The price? Well, take a guess. $250? $200? $150? You're not even close. The entire stereo component system sells for, now you're ready for this, just $99.95. That's right, just $99.95. The Girard turntable, dust cover, bass, FM, AM, stereo, 8-track tape player, speakers and headphones, everything's included for the low price of $99.95. There's nothing extra to buy. Now, where can you get it? Sunset Stereo, 2555 Irving Street in San Francisco. Better write that address down. 2555 Irving Street, San Francisco, $99.95 buys it all.
Enter into a black man's world. See and feel the problems that he is confronted with and the means that he uses to solve them. be one of the first to read a unique true story, Flashback, about a man named Stephen Wayne who is trying to survive. Witness the actual events that take place.
I could feel Godfather. I could feel him all around me. Something told me that he was about to kill someone, and seconds later, I heard a loud pop, a bang go off. There was Godfather laying in a pool of blood. I didn't understand why. I began to flashback. I flashback at all of the other ladies who had come to see Godfather and how they had actually tripped Godfather out, sent Godfather into trances. I was so caught up in my own world with my own troubles, and I had many, more than the average man. I couldn't see his problems. I didn't know Godfather was a masochist.
Flashback, published by Mystic Cult Publishing Company of San Francisco, is now available at your favorite bookstore. K106 and B. Dalton Booksellers hope you're enjoying the 6 hour super special and would like to invite you to a very special autograph party this Friday afternoon at 4:30. Meet Dick Clark in person as he autographs copies of his new book, Rock, Roll, and Remember, at the B. Dalton store downtown at the corner of Kearney and Sutter Streets. It'll be a fun day for everyone. Don't miss this chance to see and meet Dick Clark this Friday afternoon, 4:30 to 6, at B. Dalton Books, corner of Kearney and Sutter in downtown San Francisco. Now, back to Rock, Roll, and Remember on K106.
It's the summer of 1957, and the ABC Television Network wants to drop its old movies and try something new in the late afternoons. At first, Clark fears this means the end of his local bandstand show.
Yeah, I was really scared. We had had a year under our belts with the local version there. It had had a four-year successful run before that. And all of a sudden, ABC was going to put on something other than the old English movies they had. And I saw the handwriting on the wall. I said, they are going to take my show away. They're going to put a soap opera on or something. And so we took a kinescope of our show up to New York, and I still have posted in my office a letter from Ted Fetter, who was the man in charge of programming, and it said, in essence, don't call us, we'll call you. And it concluded, well, then sometime when you're in town, stop by. I thought this was it. They're going to give me a show. I ran up there, went right back immediately, and I think my youthful enthusiasm and exuberance must have overwhelmed them, because they sure enough gave us a four-week test in August of 1957.
Hi, and welcome to part number two, Dick Clark and the American Bandstand. And our special guests in this coming segment, the fellas who do get a job, the Silhouette. It's going to be a swinging session, I do believe. So if you can, join us for the next 60 minutes as we lead off.
Dip, 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 dip.
Thank you.
Clark's relentless battle to get his show on the ABC television network ends in total victory. He immediately sets out to break new ground, beginning with R&B, rhythm and blues.
You know, I can see it vividly now, that Studio B in Philadelphia at 46th and Market Streets. Can you imagine introducing to a national audience that really wasn't into rhythm and blues a song by the Coasters?
You know, the power of that show then, a lot of people don't realize. It's like if you went on that show and did your record, the next day you would sell 50 to 100,000 records just by being on that. That was the power of that show. Because the Yak the Yak did, I think, 150,000 the next day when we went on it. It was really phenomenal.
Take out the papers and the trash. Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust fly with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight, or you don't go out Friday night. Yaggedy-yack.
Don't go back.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the dog and put out the cat.
Back.
American Bandstand takes over the world next on Rock, Roll, and Remember.
Hey, if you've ever used a cream rinse, come here. I've got something to show you. It's a totally new rinse you won't believe. It's called Breck Clean Rinse. It's oil-free and so different it doesn't even look like other rinses. Oh, let's see, how am I going to do this? Well, you know what your cream rinse looks like. Well, maybe it's green or white, but it looks thick and cloudy, right? Well, Breck Clean Rinse isn't. It's clear. It comes in a clear bottle and you can look right through it. You see, most rinses have oil. They stay cloudy even when mixed with water. But Breck Clean Rinse is oil-free, so it dissolves completely. Rinses out fast and takes care of tangles without adding any oily feeling. That's why it's so terrific. Now, I can't show you how beautiful your hair is going to look, and I can't tell you which fragrance you'll like best. Fresh meadow, fresh honeysuckle, or fresh citrus. You'll just have to see for yourself. Try Breck Clean Rinse. It's the one you can see right through.
What's going on? Can't you feel the beat? Something's happening up the street. What's going on at the corner? Casual Corner.
And now at the corner, get this. Beautiful, soft $80 suede jackets on sale for only $49.99. Wow! At that price, you could buy two beautiful suede jackets for only $49.99. While you're at the corner, look at their buckskin jackets. They're on sale, too. And don't forget their fantastic selection of shirts, jeans, pants, and sweaters. That's what's going on now at Casual Corner. See you at the corner!
It's happening at the corner, Casual Corner. Stonestown Mall, Hilltop Mall, Valco Park, 318 Kearney Street, and Paul and Geary. Come on down.
Casual Corner.
Millions of Americans are tuning in daily to watch kids dance in Philadelphia. But the sudden success of American Bandstand confounds the experts, especially those at ABC. Network brass try to make changes. The first thing they try to change is Dick Clark.
I remember what they said. They didn't like the way I looked. They said I had droopy eyes. I was slow-eyed. I didn't even know what that meant. They said the lighting was terrible. They sent an expert down to light the show and change the set. But the real truth of it was they didn't have any more idea than Billy Goat why that thing succeeded. They had wonderful ideas like superimpose the lyrics of the songs beneath as the kids dance, have them applaud after every song. They made the most inane suggestions. Thank goodness we never followed any of them.
Gimmicks are required for American Bandstand, for its popularity stems from a very simple equation. And Clark learns that the formula works equally well all over the world.
The producer would hand me a list of the records, which he would make up one day and I would make up the next day. We traded back and forth. And a list of the commercials, two pieces of paper. I had two, the producer had two, and the man who played the records had two, and that was it. That was the format. The simplicity of the Bandstand format has been copied all over the world. There's been a Bandstand in Germany. There is still one in Australia. Helen Reddy made her debut on the Australian Bandstand. She made her American debut on American Bandstand.
I don't know how to love him. What to do? I seem like someone else.
late 50s, American Bandstand is more than just a television phenomenon. It has also become the most powerful force in selling popular records. Thanks to Dick Clark, artists who once could only hope to perform for a few thousand people are now thrust into millions of living rooms. One of them is Bobby Vinton.
I remember driving in my car, going to wherever he had his show in Philadelphia, and trying to sneak in the back door. And you couldn't get back at all. And I says, hey, look, I came all the way from Canonsburg, Pennsylvania, which was about a 7-hour drive in my car. And I says, I have this record. And I do remember getting in to someone at the show and playing the record for them. And I do remember them being very cordial. And I think Dick did happen to walk by, and I shook his hand. And I said, wow, I'm shaking hands with Dick Clark, man. I'm so close.
Blue on blue. Two lovers pass, and as they're passing by, I could die, 'cause you're not here with me. Now the trees are bare, there's sadness in the air, and I'm as blue as I can be. Blue on blue, heartache on heartache. As I can be.
Discovered in Philadelphia, American Bandstand gives Clark fame and fortune. With personal appearances and music-related enterprises, he can't keep track of the money he's making. He doesn't even have time to change his lifestyle. When Edward R. Murrow electronically visits Clark in 1958, he and his wife are still living in a $100-a-month apartment.
I didn't know what happened to me when this thing first hit on me. I was making an extraordinarily good financial living. I mean, the money was coming in so fast, I really didn't have any idea how much it was. My wife at the time and I lived in a little garden apartment in Pennsylvania. We drove, we did by then have two cars. But we lived about the way a person making $15,000 in those days would have lived, instead of much more than that, $500,000 at one point in 1 year. So it really didn't dawn on us. The biggest thing we ever did was buy a $38,000 house in Wallingford, Pennsylvania. That was a biggie. I don't think it was out of design or anything. We just weren't used to anything else.
Your bills, and there's money. Yeah, there's money, child. It's on the shine.
Part of American Bandstand's charm is that it is essentially a low-budget show. And even though performers are only paid scale, the biggest stars of the day fight to appear on the program. Only one singer refuses.
Yeah, there was one thing there. I had a man arrive on the scene. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was a big star in country music. They had booked him. His name was and still is Porter Wagoner, one of the giants of country music. And he came to Philadelphia to appear on the show. And he walked into the office with his blonde hair piled high on a pompadour on top of his head and a studded suit and all of that craziness, and said, what is the pay? Or something came up about the pay. Well, of course, it was scale, and it was, I don't recall exactly, $152, I think, was the running rate. And he said, my boy, I don't sing for that kind of money. And I said, Mr. Wagoner, you don't sing for that kind of money. You don't sing here. and he didn't.
Ironically, another country singer is more than happy to appear on Clark's program. The show's sponsor, however, has other ideas.
There was a country singer, I think at the time he was working on the Jimmy Dean Show in Washington, D.C. or something like that. And he had a record called A Rose and a Baby Ruth. That's right. We made him change the title to A Rose and a Candy Bar because I think we had some other sponsor conflict. But the funny thing about George Hamilton IV was he wasn't a rock and roller. He wasn't the typical teenage idol.
We had a quarrel, a teenage quarrel. Now I'm as blue as I know how to be. I can't call you on the phone. I can't even see you at your home. So I'm sending you this present just to prove that I'm telling the truth. Dear, I believe you won't laugh when you receive this rose and a baby Ruth. I could have sent you an orchid of some kind, but that's all I had in my jeans at the time. But when we grow up, someday I'll show up just to prove I was telling the truth. I'll kiss you too, then I'll hand to you this rose and a baby Ruth.
What to do when opportunity knocks. Next on Rock, Roll, and Remember.
Well, it's 8:30. Don't want to be late. I'm moving on. Got my Levi's jeans like you never seen. Called moving on. Moving on jeans from Levi's. The look that's long and lean. Moving on from Levi's jeans.
That's right. Levi's is moving on again with different moving on jean styles you've never seen before. New colors, new fabrics, and good old genuine Levi's quality and comfort in every pair. Check them out, because if you haven't seen Levi's moving on jeans lately, you haven't seen moving on jeans.
Sometimes a man don't need no plans when he's moving on. Sometimes you know you just gotta go and get moving on. Moving on jeans from Levi's. A look that's long and lean. Moving on.
And here she is, the winner of Raleigh's first round-the-world bicycle race, Wheels McGinnis. Ms. McGinnis, please sit down.
I am sitting down.
So you are. How tall are you?
6'4" in my sweat socks.
Ms. McGinnis, to what do you owe today's victory?
Oh, my Raleigh bicycle dealer. He custom-sized me.
He what?
He fitted the handlebars, pedals, and saddle to my person.
You had trouble before you went to a Raleigh pro?
Oh, sure. Look, riding a bike is not like wearing pantyhose. One size does not fit all.
What was the most difficult part of your round-the-world race?
The Atlantic. Definitely the Atlantic. Got a little water in my ear.
Visit one of the Raleigh bicycle dealerships today and get a sneak preview of the 1977 model Grand Prix, the popular alloy-equipped lightweight 10-speed bike. Raleigh also offers the special buyer's protection policy. See your nearest Raleigh bicycle dealer today. See Hank and Frank Bicycles, 106 East 14th Street in Oakland, Campus Bike, 437 California Avenue, Palo Alto, Monument Cycle, 2263 Contra Costa Boulevard in Pleasant Hill, Stan Cycle, 19675 Stevens Creek Boulevard, Cupertino, or Sutton and Lynn Cyclery, 811 Santa Cruz Avenue, Menlo Park. Rally on a Raleigh today.
K106, B. Dalton Books and Dick Clark have a special invitation for you. It's an autograph party this coming Friday afternoon at 4:30. Come on down to the B. Dalton Bookstore, downtown San Francisco, and meet Dick Clark in person. Dick will be autographing copies of his new book, Rock, Roll, and Remember. And you're invited to come on down and say hello. Don't forget the date, this Friday, December 3rd, at B. Dalton Books, corner of Kearney and Sutter in downtown San Francisco. Now let's get back to Rock, Roll, and Remember on K106.
During the past hour, we've traced the career of a former Utica, New York newsman as he becomes America's leading advocate of rock music. Before we move on to hour three of Rock, Roll, and Remember, when we'll get an insider's view of the early stars of rock and roll, Dick Clark recalls the dawning moments of those bandstand years.
Hey, to anybody who says to me, you were really lucky to be there, I have an answer, I say. I was stationed outside the door of opportunity, waiting for it to open a crack. When it opened a crack, I grabbed a hold of the door handle and swung it open and leaped in, or leapt, as the case may be. And I had been equipped with 9 years of experience, and I had a pretty good idea how to handle a television camera in a way that I thought wasn't anything but me, but I knew it worked. I knew it worked in Utica, New York. I saw it work in Philadelphia. There wasn't any reason to believe it wouldn't work on the ABC television network.
Yet his days are numbered in Philadelphia, for the focus of American music and Clark's own business activities are shifting to the West Coast.
Rock and roll began in the East, in Cleveland and Akron, where Freed uncovered all of that rhythm and blues music and gave it to the white audience. And all of a sudden in the 60s, the youth movement, like the man said, go west, young man, you know. Everybody's dream was to go to California.
Everybody's talking at me, I don't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stop and staring, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. My clothes, banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a storm.
What's happened to the bandstand over the years is it's taken a minor role in television where years before it had a major role. With half as many television sets as there are presently in the United States, we were on 5 days a week on national network TV in glorious black and white for about an hour and a half a day, going into millions of homes, influencing millions of kids. I mean, if it was being worn in Philadelphia, it was being worn all over the world. It didn't matter if it was 110 degrees in the shade. They wore woolen sweaters in Miami because that's what the Philly kids wore. What's happened in later years is we went to once a week. We fill that void between children's programming Saturday morning and the sports broadcast in the afternoon. And we still reach 10 or 12 million people a week, which is more, by the way, than we used to reach in any single day in the old days. But it's just a slightly different approach to the very same subject.
Join Joseph Campanella again in Chapter 3 of Dick Clark, Rock, Roll, and Remember.
The following is a dramatization.
Hi, I'm Patsy Georgian.
And I'm Russ Holcomb.
And we're here at the new Marlene store at No. 1 Market Plaza, continuing with our very exciting fashion show.
And we're taking a look now at what the well-dressed working girl might wear. Our first model is Kathy, and she has a three-piece coordinate outfit on, the top with a leather jacket.
Isn't that smart, Rez?
Very nice.
The jacket has the inset belt in the back, the little pleats down the front, which really gives it a European flavor. Coupled with her jacket, she has on a pair of wool gabardine pants and a striped cowl neck sweater. It's stunning on her.
And it all ties in just beautifully. Janet's our next model. She has a shirt waist dress on. Would you describe this for us?
Yes, yeah, shirtwaist dresses have always been a favorite of the working girl. Notice the wood buttons and the narrow belt, the little flare skirt. It's a great look. You can dress it up or dress it down and go right through the day out into the evening, Russ.
Is this available in all sizes?
Yes, in all sizes at all Marlene stores.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes with another look at the exciting fashions available at all 13 Marlene stores throughout the Bay Area.
Marlene's announces the opening of another new store at the Hilltop Mall in Richmond.
Hey-Tel presents Super Gold, the fantastic double album. Original hits, original superstars, Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, that's the way I like it.
Leo Sayer's giant hit.
You know I can't dance, you know I can't dance.
Morris Albert.
Dylan.
The fantastic Spinner.
The Cage People Play.
Becky Sue Robinson sings. Super hits with Deep Purple, Alice Cooper, Jigsaw, Average White Band, Gladys Knight of the Pips, Silver Convention, and Neil Sedaka. Super Soul from Dorothy Moore.
My whole world turns misty blue.
Rhythm Heritage. Super Gold, the perfect gift. A double album, $9.99 from KTEL. Tape, $11.99.
Super Gold, now available at Pay and Save, SH Crest, Drug King, Payless, and at Banana Records, Musicland, participating JCPenney stores, and Montgomery Ward.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Listening to Rock, Roll, and Remember with Dick Clark on KFRC-FM San Francisco. K106.
With the incredible success of American Bandstand, Dick Clark is thrust into a new way of life. And he has a new set of friends, men like Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Bobby Darin.
When I first met him, he was an arrogant, brash, almost abrasive young man with no success whatsoever. People always used to say to me, gee, man, when did he turn into that demon? I said, he always was, you know. But he was always my advisor and I his. We never lent each other money or got into business together, but we just had a very close personal tie. One time, it's funny, I wanted to be his personal manager, and for one reason or other, it didn't work out. And I was always glad it didn't, because It brought us closer together, and we lived through a couple of marriages, his and mine, and even to the end, we kept very close contact.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, it's Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. Eek! And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five'll get you 10, old Maggie's back in town. Now you hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie Heath spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Did it diver?
Ho, ho!
Yes, Sugi Tawdry. Ooh, Miss Lolly Linya. And old Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town. Jenny Diver, whoa, Sugi Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie Linya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town.
It was on the occasion of an anniversary bandstand show that I talked to him, and we reflected on my fine insight and know-how and crystal ball-gazing ability as to hits. I was the one, in my infinite wisdom, that told Bobby Darin that Mac the Knife would never be a hit.
By 1959, critics hail rock music as a youthful celebration of life. But that very year, the first of a string of freak tragedies takes the life of rock's first innovative superstar.
You know, one of the things when you look over the history of rock and roll and you try to remember all the little goodies that happened, there are some sad occasions. We've lost so many fine artists. You know, people like Sam Cooke, Bobby Darin, Mama Cass Elliott, and countless others. But there was one day in particular in a cold February of 1959 when we lost three men. The big bopper, the disc jockey from Texas, Jape Richardson, and the young man from California, Richie Valens, who did Donna. And the one other man that I guess, without a doubt, if he'd lived to today, he would have been a super, super, superstar, Buddy Holly.
There you going, baby, here am I. Oh, well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Do you remember, baby, last September, how you held me tight each and every night? Well, whoops-a-daisy, how you drove me crazy, but I guess it doesn't matter anymore. There's no use in me a-crying. I've done everything and now I'm
sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. Well, you go your way and I'll go mine. Now and forever, till the end of time, I'll find somebody new. Baby, we'll say we're through and you won't matter anymore. There's no use in me a crying. I've done everything and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights and wasted all my days over you. Well, you go your way and I'll go mine. Now and forever till the end of time, I'll find somebody new. Baby, we'll say we're through and you won't matter anymore. You won't matter anymore.
You know, as you listen to that Buddy Holly record, it's a bit of irony. I don't want to be a Pollyanna, but out of darkness there always comes some light. That terrible, tragic accident gave birth to a very big star career for a fine friend of mine. Had it not been for the unfortunate incident, there probably never would have been a Bobby V.
As you recall, back in 1959, Buddy Holly and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper were en route to my hometown to do a concert. They had been out on tour in the Midwest, and they were killed in a plane crash. The local radio station asked if there were any bands that would care to help fill in the bill, so we called and offered our services. By about 7:30 that evening, we were down at the Armory. Boom, the curtains opened, and we did about six or seven songs from the 50s. And that was kind of it. I remember getting a rush from the whole thing. I was incredibly nervous, and that kind of settled down, and I was really enjoying it.
Dun, 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 dun. Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel, dear, whichever you are, I miss you, I miss you. I miss you. Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Go out of my mind. Devil or angel, dear, whichever you are, I need you, I need you, I need you. You look like an angel, your smile is divine, but you keep me guessing, will you ever be mine? Devil.